Good morning. Today is Friday, the 3rd of January. She's knocking off. December. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Nice to see you, dude.
Good to see you. How you been?
Here. Couple things have been happening in your professional life that we'll be talking about here, but before we do, you ready for your question?
I am. I hope it's about some German sweetbread.
No. Sorry. Okay, but this is bakery related.
Okay.
Why is 13 called a baker's dozen?
I do. I've heard of this. I'm not saying I know it.
Go ahead, brain dead in public.
It's
okay.
It's not good. It's not good. I don't know. I'm just going to say they didn't. They weren't very good at arithmetic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They went to the government school of accounting. At one time, the problem of bakers short-weighing their customers became so serious that laws were enacted imposing severe penalties for any baker caught doing this. This meant that the bakers had to be very careful about the weight of the bread that they sold. But in those days, it was difficult to make bread loaves of uniform weight. So to make absolutely sure that a dozen loaves sold to a shopkeeper didn't contain less than the required weight, the bakers often threw in a 13th loaf. These 13 loaves became known as a baker's dozen. Later, the term came to describe 13 of anything.
And what's wonderful about that is it ended up translating to donuts.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing that frosts my cookies more, sticking with the analogies, than bear claws that aren't. There's one thing. Dad, when he grew up, Uncle Hans ran a bakery, and Dad helped him out before school and after baseball practice. Then he would go in there, and what the brown stuff is in the bear claw is yesterday's donuts ground up with butter and cinnamon.
Oh, I thought it was just like butter and cinnamon.
Yeah, so, well, if it's done right, it's this. Mm. If it's done the other way, it's just some kind of goopy thing. So bear claw was always his favorite, and I keep looking for legit bear claws, and there's Svensson's does not do legit bear claws. I mean, he's got
to
be
supposed to name names.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. They're not local.
Okay.
So nobody buys them, right?
Yes, of course.
See, we bring this thing around pretty quick. So you got a hole in the EPD, huh?
Yep. Chief Watson retired on Tuesday. It was his last day. It was November 30th. We had a going away for him and proclamation. There'll be a proclamation for him at the next council meeting. And right,
saying good job or glad yeah, you're not here?
Saying good job.
Okay, good. You know, you can go both ways, right?
No, it's a good job. It was a good turnout. We went to Seamus's and had a going away retirement party for him. And then Tuesday we're going to recognize him. We were going to do it at the previous council meeting, but he was out of town.
Not avoiding you.
No,
out of town. So what is the process? Now you've got Brian in as the pinch hitter, I suppose, or bridge.
Yeah.
Now, somebody in this studio experienced something similar to that in the last year and ended up being having the interim erased.
Yes.
Is that the normal process? Are you doing an outside reach? What can you say about the process?
We are going out. So it's always been intended to do that. We had intended for an interim to be in place prior to Chief Watson leaving, and the pre-employment screening took longer than expected. And so we're putting in an acting until the interim can get in. And then when the interim gets in, it's going to go out to a recruitment. And then we're going to be recruiting for a police chief.
So why do both? Why not just, you know, if Brian or whoever might have been selected, why not let them just be the interim? Why go through a three-stage or three potential leadership changes?
We could have gone that way, but we made the decision early on to go interim then to a recruitment. We didn't intend on having the acting. That wasn't intentional.
Oh, that was because of the
delay in the pre-employment. Yes.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do that just so that you know, it's intended to just make sure that we can get a wide reach and make sure that we can, you know, and that wide reach includes all of our locals as well.
Right, so that may allow him, if he's inclined, to be able to apply and not be there already, so to speak.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, it's some kind of a survey. Yeah, I forget what it was.
Parking study.
That the city is doing. Is that a, not parking specifically yet, but is that kind of the new thing to do, is to have surveys of the community and be able to allow folks to come in rather than doing an outreach? It's more of a response-driven survey?
We're trying to do that with all. It kind of started with our parks projects and stuff, and trying to get as much input from the community about what they want to see in their parks. I think that that's kind of going to be the model going forward. This parking study here is related to, well, it's a parking study in and of itself, but it's also related to our waterfront specific study, which is kind of a pre-permitting plan for the waterfront area, a certain defined area in our commercial district that basically looks at infill and housing and different things that we can do. So this parking study is kind of associated with that, so that we can determine, you know, if there is a parking problem, where we, how do we address it? And
didn't it used to be called density?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, for Eureka, it's really infill because we can't expand. You know, you could expand your footprint and still achieve density. Here, we're built out pretty much, and so
yeah, unless you want Myrtletown.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I don't know if that's a densifying or not.
Well, we looked at annexing certain areas of Cutton and Myrtletown and stuff like that. It doesn't pencil out.
Yeah, the services outweigh the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it still driven by retail? And it has to be revenue neutral?
Well, to both entities? Typically, but I mean, if you look at Brainerd, that was more of an opportunity for job creation. And
right, you know. Right. But nobody was doing battle over sales tax that was lost.
No.
It was just kind of sitting there empty.
Yeah.
It still would seem to make sense to at least annex half of Harrison. or give up half of Harrison.
Just to eliminate the confusion?
Yes. Well, and you know, I'm sure the city loves working with the county. Mm-hmm. You know, Public Works, and they seem to be nice guys on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what happens in the closed room, but nice guys on both sides.
No, we work well with them.
But it's another level.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just kind of saying, okay, right here, either the front door of these houses or the back property line, it would just seem to be simplification.
So we looked at that, and it's a similar thing over by Pine Hill, all that jogging goes on, where it's, you know, unincorporated county, and then Eureka right there. We looked at that as well. Same thing, though. It doesn't really pencil out. It is convenient for common sense wise, but from services wise, it doesn't.
I love the way, and I don't know if it's as it appears, but on, let's see, E D Street. South of Harris. Mm-hmm. Paved, middle of the block, city limit sign, pavement stops.
Well, I can tell you.
It's like, you know, either you ran out of juice, you went right to the line, and you want everybody to know that that's the line, or I just found it funny. I probably would have put a little stripe across.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just difficult for the county has so many roads. It's ridiculous, the miles of road that they have. And so
but take it to the next intersection.
Yeah.
Rather than the middle of a block.
True.
I started laughing when we drove by there last week. Yeah. It got my weird sense of humor going.
We are coordinating. I don't know when the last time that was paid, but we're definitely coordinating more with the county on those areas so that we can try and get you know, if we're doing a job in the area that's connected to the county, that if they have some funding, if they can contribute to that so that we can, you know, extend projects.
Finish it out. Yeah. Now, the stoplights that are going to go, the street in front of Grant.
F and Oak.
Oak Street, which is really weird because we don't have that many Oaks, but okay, we'll go with that. That's in the county jurisdiction, right?
Yes.
However, F Street obviously is a major drag for Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a project? Do you talk, or is that purely on Tom's desk and the county takes care of it, and you kind of, you can ask questions and find out, but it's their project?
It is their project because it's their jurisdiction, but we do share information. We do traffic studies and stuff because that stretch of road goes in the city of Eureka limits as well as in the county's limits. And so, we coordinate as it relates to that. But as far as the funding to do those projects comes from the jurisdiction.
So when that gets put in, if there's concerns about the speed on F Street now, or at least the neighborhood has that, and whoever had that creative twist, congratulations.
I love it.
Yeah. are there any concerns that that's going to pick up the speed on F? I mean, it's still pretty narrow.
Yeah.
So doing the bulb out thing, you're going to cut it down to a bike trail.
Yeah.
So that's not really an option. And are you concerned with that at all? Do the studies indicate that there's going to be people going quicker because there is a stoplight there?
No, I don't. it's to be. So we haven't seen that in the past. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But I think that the campaign that they've done has been really successful. I think that they've seen a decrease in speeds. And I also think that some of the heavy traffic, when they were talking about, the big trucks that are going through there, a lot of that had to do with projects that were in the area. We had Figas.
You mean like the one starting with H?
Well, that too, but I'm talking about the project on the golf course. So we had heavy trucks that could only go that way. And so there was an increase of truck traffic during that project. Fortunately, that project is completed now. So
it's settled back down a little bit.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Miles, you mentioned the zoo. Last time we got together, there was some talk about some additional improvements. You got the playground that's out there now and some of that other stuff. Because the weather is as it is, are you able to continue doing some of those improvements at the zoo or at the park now that might have been scheduled for next year?
Typically, no, because it's considered by the State Water Resources Control Board the rainy season. So you could do it, but the provisions you have to put in place kind of increase the cost. So you really want to stick to the dry season, which would be, I think it's March 15th to October 15th.
Which is really goofy, right? In March, we should be in the middle of downpours.
Yeah. Well, that's their standard.
Yeah, go figure.
But we are still moving forward with the bear and coyote, the bear exhibit. Thanks to Bear River Rancheria and their donation to the city for that facility, and we're hoping we should be breaking ground on that soon. That is one project that we probably could do earlier. We're trying to finish up the design for that, and then once that's finished, we'll be breaking ground to start putting the bear exhibit down below the skywalk.
Does the zoo, so you can feed the bears from up above?
Yeah,
good move.
Exactly.
Hopefully
they can climb up and
hopefully
kiss
like
you.
Popcorn.
Yeah. It's a little bit off to the side. You'd have to have a good arm.
Yeah. That'll be part of the tryouts for Little League.
They
just don't give them an orange. as you guys are designing that, the zoo accreditation, I know, is a big deal for a lot of reasons. Do they review? Do you submit the plans to those folks also to get their support on it? Or when they come into town, they just kind of look and see what there is?
Yeah, they don't have a real... We don't provide them the plans and have them provide input to us. You know, that's basically done with, I think it's SHR. There's a you know, consulting design group that we consult with our local designers to make sure that it's appropriate habitat for whatever animals that we're putting in there. And so,
well, you got bears, you got woods. I mean, they go together.
Oh, no, 100%. We'll have some large woody debris in there for sure. And so, no, they don't have any input as to what the design looks like, but they're definitely interested, you know, once it's done and the success of it, and you know, especially the type of curriculum that we have, you know, as it relates to conservation and those type of things, they're more interested in that than the actual design itself.
Let's go back to the parking survey. Mm-hmm. For a little bit, what are you looking to find out? Perceptions, realities, yes to the above. What are you looking for?
All of that, perception, realities, as to whether or not, you know, where things can be changed. You know, if community members are, you know, okay with walking two blocks or not okay with walking two blocks.
You know it's Eureka.
Yeah. Exactly.
10 feet, we start to fatigue out.
Exactly. And then also looking at businesses' perceptions of metered parking and those type of things, because, you know, it could lead to on-street metered parking, those type of things.
So we're going to bring back what we took out?
Well, you know, we've done it before.
Yes, I know.
It depends on, you know, what the results of it are. You know, I don't know what they're going to look like. I know that there are areas of town where we have two-hour parking that is kind of weird to me, like around City Hall. We have two-hour parking, and that doesn't seem to be very much of a commercial area. And I would think that if we removed that, I'm not a traffic engineer, and Scott Ellsmore is probably telling me to shut up right now, but if that could take on some of that parking in those commercial areas, even though it's a couple blocks away. But there's certain areas where we've done things that could, you know, use adjustment. We could look at permit parking, those type of things.
I recall, was it the 80s? Maybe early 90s, 80s, somewhere in that neighborhood, that there was a, parking was a major point of discussion. Mm-hmm. Over and over, didn't have enough space, didn't blah, blah. And that was at post Bayshore Mall being built. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a real small parking lot.
Yeah, and there was thoughts, well, do we need it, you know, downtown? Certainly the composition of what downtown is today is a little bit different than what it was at that point. But between 4th and 2nd on E, there were diagonal parking. I don't know what it's really called. I mean, you guys have got it. Yeah. But it's angle on one side of the street, and it's a one-way, and traffic goes behind it, and then the next block, it shifts over, and you've got it on the other side as a, not traffic calming necessarily, a little bit more parking, but it changes the feeling of the area. You know, and F Street seemed to be the one that was most logical. I thought that maybe G Street was included as well. Not an open walking mall concept, but more in that feel rather than what we have now. And I think it got shot down because 3rd Street was used as a main drag for a lot of commercial trucks.
Yeah.
You know, the beer trucks and the soda trucks and guys like that. Back in the days when the bottling plant was down in that area also. Mm. Is there a need to do a new study or go back to the old one? Or, hate to see these big expensive things end up on the shelf and not ever be referenced.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you said, the industry and the businesses down in Old Town have changed over the years, and so, you know, studies can be different and come up with different results. I do know that when you look at that diagonal parking...
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so when you do that, it seems that you pick up a lot of spaces, but you really don't pick up that many spaces.
One or two a block.
I mean, yeah, so there's not much in the whole block, and there's concern. I mean, what they did... other communities had done it the opposite way. You know how you back out into it? They were making it so that you went forward into it, and then you would pull forward and you would back in to the spot so that when you went out into traffic...
You were nose out. Yeah.
But then that, in other communities, didn't bode well because people weren't stopping when they needed to back into the spot. So, you know, there's been different ways of looking at that. I do know from a volume perspective that, you know, doing that diagonal doesn't really pick up that much. I agree that it would help with traffic calming. We're looking at like a bike boulevard potentially along C Street, and that could be something that we look at there. There's concerns because of public safety. That's their street, and enough room.
Well, it's the impression that it gives also.
Yeah.
You know, I think that in certain areas, I think something like that kind of adds to that old town feel of get out and walk around a little bit rather than having everybody parked in and it's zip in and zip out kind of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. So is it just this survey? Is that going to be what starts the ball rolling, or is this being added to an existing study that's already occurring?
It's starting. It's like I said, it's in conjunction with that waterfront specific study. And so this is the beginning process of that, and we're actually awarding the waterfront specific study for the planning in CEQA this Tuesday at council.
If somebody wants to participate, do everybody in Eureka, can they participate? Is it a countywide? Who is the sample?
So that's the thing, is the consultant is going to be reaching out to all of the stakeholders as well as the local, you know, the people that are in the area to get input from them. I don't know exactly if it's going to be like a public forum or if it's just going to be a survey or them reaching out directly, but they'll be in contact with stakeholders in that commercial area as well as the businesses and residents.
Gotcha. So it's not a survey you can participate with yet?
Not yet, no. Not for the waterfront.
KIN or the parking part?
Parking, there's a survey out right now.
Oh, go to your website?
It's on our website. Okay. Lost Coast put out an article on it yesterday.
Who?
Los Cosapos.
Who?
I think it was
KINS.
Yeah, I didn't think you knew what you were talking about.
KINS.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's going to be on KINS's webpage in 5 minutes.
It's 8:45.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. What's next on the agenda for you? What's the next big, exciting thing, non-election based?
It's exciting for some, but not for others. But this intermodal transit center that we're working with Humboldt Transit Authority on, I think, is going to be a big game changer for the Old Town area. We're looking at it to try and make it a multi-use development, so it would have housing as well as an intermodal transit center and also some visitor-serving aspects within the transit center.
Now, in the old days, it was at the train station that doesn't really look and exist.
Exactly.
And that was going to be built out, and that's where the bus was going to be. Mm-hmm. That's where Greyhound. The transit was going to be there. The cab company was going to be able to use that as a primary, and you had the trains, you know, the historical use.
So technically,
we do
have the Amtrak bus that comes and so takes people, and so that would be a component of it. The cabs,
might even get the gray dog showing up. Huh?
Yes, the Greyhound would be there. The cabs, the Uber, you know, alternative, you know, bike shares, zip cars, all of those type of things.
So where's the proposed location?
So it's behind, they're calling it the 3G site, which is 3rd and G behind Los Coast Brewery Restaurant. So those two parking lots there, and it would have...
So you'd be pulling parking off?
Yeah.
To take those two, okay.
Yeah, and then it could be a real... You know, from the city's perspective, a real game changer as far as providing housing and also providing, you know, the ability for people to, get to and from work very easily, and it would increase.
Those are skinny roads, though. Be running buses on there.
H is actually really wide.
Well, H is.
So that's where it would run. It would run along H and then go out onto 4th.
Okay, how do you get onto H? You go down to 2nd or 3rd?
No, you'd be coming around the you'd be coming around, then you go out from be from north to south out onto 4th.
Why not down at the old train, you know, more towards the industrial end? Isn't that typically where that kind of facility is? Not manufacturing.
Where the old GNR Metal?
No, wrong direction. down where, let's say, the site where the beer guys are, Humboldt Brewery, or Humboldt Beer Distributors, down 4th Street makes the turn.
Oh.
Down at that end, so it has immediate access onto a three-lane.
We don't have any property there.
Okay.
Well, we have property for the commercial, but that's about it. A lot of that property is being bought up right now. The old beer shop is being bought up right now,
okay.
So that old brewery is going to be have a business in there soon. We have
cannabis-related
area. Yeah, there's cannabis area there. There's at least two down there now, and there's going to be a third. And then there's also going to be a development on Mercer Fraser's property. It's going to be a partnership with the county.
Interesting stuff. Well. And that's now in the study stage, or is that in the proposed stage?
The permits of the plans are in being reviewed for Mercer Fraser and project.
And the intermodal.
And the intermodal is just an MOU right now, and we have some conceptual designs for you.
Cool stuff. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. See everybody on Monday.